You guys, it is Kelty Knight, Jack Bannock, and Becca Tobin from The Lady Gang, and we are so excited because this week we have the one and only RuPaul as our guest.
That's right, you better work.
Yeah! See, isn't it already so good?
You're going to be inspired, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to have a moment. It's going to be the best.
Oh, we can't wait.
Download now at podcastone.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our exit interviews with the Survivor Game Changers Final Six. We've got everybody from the Final Six ready to go. We're going to hear from the winner of Survivor Game Changers, Sarah Lucina. The other two guys from the Final Two, Brad and Troyzanne, they're going to be with us on one call. We're going to hear from Sari, who obviously got idled out of, or advantage get-in happened to her, I should say. And then Aubrey and Ty are going to be together here in four different calls on the Exit Interview podcast this morning. Last night, I was at the finale at the studio. I was watching from the press trailer, and I was working for CBS last night, and I did interviews that are on the red carpet. If you want to check out any of those are on CBS All Access, which unfortunately does require a subscription to CBS All Access. Sometimes that those interviews, they appear in other places. So if you are not a subscriber, be on the lookout for that. If you are looking to subscribe to that, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/CBS app to subscribe. Also, Big Brother live feeds are around the corner. So if you want to get your hands on a CBS All Access subscription, now is not the worst time in the world for that. So then later on today, I'm going to be talking with Josh Wiggler. He's going to come through and we're going to get into your Survivor voicemails, talk about his experience. Obviously, he was even mentioned during the finale broadcast. So kudos to Josh Wiggler for that. So be on the lookout for that show, which should be coming up on Friday. And of course, last night, Stephen Fishback and Sophie Clark, I got to listen to it on the ride home from the after party. We're on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. They did a great job. That show is also up on the website. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, for everything we're going to be doing into the Survivor offseason and much more. All right, so it looks like we have our first exit interview coming up this morning. One of the things that I'm trying to do, because I got to talk to everybody last night, I didn't want to ask them the same questions multiple times when I already know what they're going to say. If you missed any of that and don't have the All Access subscription, I'm sure that everybody's going to cover the basics. I wanted to try to go a little bit off the beaten path with some of the questions here today. I also got questions submitted to us from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast in our Facebook group. So I'm going to mix it up with some of my questions and also some questions that we got from the patrons. It looks like we have Sarah on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Sarah, good morning. Congratulations.
Rob, what's up?
Well, how is the first morning waking up as a millionaire?
Well, it still feels like it's last night because I didn't really get to sleep at all. But no, it's awesome. I wouldn't have it any other way. Great conclusion to a great season. And really, it's a dream come true. So yeah. I couldn't be happier.
Sarah, what's the thing that you accomplished this season that you're the most proud of besides winning?
I'm just really proud of my game all around. Like, I feel like I didn't make very many mistakes. And if I made a mistake, I was able to recover on my own. You know, I didn't need someone to save me. I'm just really proud of how I was able to do it kind of alone, you know, and completely control the entire game.
You made the decision coming into this season you were going to be the criminal more than just the honest cop. Do you feel like that? Can people still win the game playing just an honest game?
Well, yeah, I think you can. You have to be really good if you're going to play just an honest game. But the problem is Survivor has evolved so much to this point that you don't see much camp life anymore, and it's all strategy. So unfortunately, if you want to play this honest game, someone else isn't going to, so it forces you to play an unhonest game, you know. So I think that's the direction it's going. I don't know, it's definitely tricky. Like, if you'd ever play again, I don't know what the step is at this point, you know, how you could even play now.
Going back to when you had the non-transferable advantage, you ultimately decided to vote with Brad and Troyzan at that vote at the final six. You ultimately go with them to the final three. How important was it to vote with those guys at that point to ultimately end up in the final three?
So, you know, when we voted out Michaela, we kind of, you know, were like, okay, I think we're together. And then the next day we have the immunity challenge. Brad wins, takes Troyzan and I. And at that six, we had made a final three deal right then and there, because at this point I had to solidify who can I get to take me to the end. And Brad and Troyzan, I knew that they were going to be loyal because that's the type of games that they play, you know? So I knew once they agreed to take me to the end that they weren't going to turn on me.
Could you talk a little bit about how you guys made that final three deal?
Sure. Like what we talked about last night?
Yeah. I think that's an interesting story.
Okay. So I know I wish it would get shown, but I think the reason they can't show it is because then it really solidifies that we had this final three. But what happens is we're sitting there, you know, enjoying our pasta, and I'm going, I have got to solidify a final three at this point because nobody, I feel, is going to want to take me to the end. So I have got to lock these guys in. I've ruined my word. Troyzan has had a conversation with me earlier saying, you know, you're like the girlfriend that cheats on you, and then you take her back, and she says, I'll never do it again. But then she cheats on you, and then you take her back, and she says, she'll never do it again. He's like, we just cannot trust you. So what I did is I had a bracelet that I wore my first season, and I wear it every day. So I said, I will give you guys my bracelet as a sign that I'm not going to turn against you, but I think it needs to be fair across the board, and everyone needs to give up something so that we, like, kind of as ransom. And so, you know, Troy's got a wrist full of bracelets, and so I basically asked him, well, which one's the most important one to you, you know, and I'm like, well, hand it over. And then Brad's sitting there with nothing on, and I'm like, I want your wedding ring, you know. So Brad literally, and you can see how much he loves Monica. I mean,
well,
we hear her name on every single episode, right? And so I'm like, at this point, once I had Brad Culpepper's wedding ring and I told him, if you turn on me, I will throw this in the bottom of the ocean. I pretty much knew they were not going to turn on me at that point. So, but again, that showcases where I had to adapt because my word was no good anymore. So now I use material items to secure their trust. And now don't get me wrong. I would have turned on them had it been the right thing to do. And I would have just bought a new bracelet when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't need to turn on them. So, but it was definitely on the table. I would have turned on them. I was willing to lose that bracelet.
Yeah,
but I knew that they weren't willing to lose their item.
Sarah, I have some listener questions as well this morning. David Baltazar wants to ask you, without the legacy advantage, you would have been voted out at six. Did you have any idea that votes were coming your way at that point?
No. And okay, so I just said I didn't feel like I had any flaws in my game. That would be the one thing. Is that was the only time I was safe. I never won an immunity, and I never had any idols, right? So when I felt safe, it was almost like I wasn't on point, and I didn't see it coming. And now looking back, it was so obvious. Ty, like, wouldn't even talk to me that day. And it was, I mean, it's so obvious now, but it shows that that security of an immunity necklace or an idol or an advantage, how it can blind you to maybe what's going on, because it's a false sense of security. So, yeah, I did not see those coming. I figured it out. But
Sarah, you had so many different people that felt like that they were close to you and that they were your number one person. In your mind, who was the person in the game that you felt like was your true number one, that you were the closest with?
Everybody. Honestly, when I would have a conversation, and this is what I picked up from Tony, is he would tell me, I go, well, Tony, you told me this. And he goes, yeah, when I said that to you, I meant that. But then when he would go and turn around and talk to someone else, he's also saying what he means. It doesn't mean what he told me wasn't true. So when I'm sitting there, like, with Andrea, and I'm telling her, and we're talking about this or that, and then I turn around and go talk to Sari, it doesn't mean that everything I just told to Andrea wasn't true. I meant it. But if I have to write your name down, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my goal was I wanted to be everybody's number one. And that was from the first day on the beach. Be everybody's number one, because then you have all of these options. And a lot of people approach the game saying, okay, this is my group, and they're not willing to venture out. I mean, you just limit your options at that point. I had options to go back and forth because I didn't restrict myself, and I was willing to work with anyone, regardless if I liked them or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really interesting observation, and I could see that with Tony as well, where you're not lying when you say it the first time. You really believe it, and you're willing to put yourself out there, whereas I feel like a lot of other Survivor players, and maybe this is something that went on with Ty, they're so worried about getting caught in a lie that they sort of are a little skittish about committing to something with a person.
Right, right. And like I say, Tony and I talk all the time, so to hear him explain it like that to me helps me understand how to play the way that I play, you know? So as much as he would call me at 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 months, every day for 2 months leading up into the game to just BS with me, because Tony would not do a free game. He's like, I'm not making a deal with you because I don't know what's going to happen out there. If I write your name down, we're talking in real life now. I don't want to do that. I don't want that hanging on my head.
Yeah.
So as he would have to talk through things, because that's how Tony is, it actually helped me, because then I could see how his brain operated every single day, you know?
Yeah.
And it helped me understand how to play that way better.
Sarah, you talked about this story last night about how Tony kept calling you at 5 o'clock in the morning. But if he wasn't making alliances with you, what did he want to talk about? What was he trying to tell you to get up and get ready to do? Go exercise?
Yeah, right.
Sarah,
time to wake up. Tony, he talks about whatever. That's what he said. No, get up, you bong. And I'm like, so we would get up and I'd be like, Tony, listen, I have a toddler just like you do. And you don't know if I slept all night. Stop calling me at 5:30 in the morning, you know. But he's calculated too. He wants to have his ducks in a row. We truly did not discuss a pregame. We discussed the people playing and how they would play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sarah, you mentioned that you have a baby at home. How did playing the game as a parent change the way that you approach things?
Well, it makes you better make it worth it if you're going to go out there then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no longer about this vacation and whatnot. The last thing I want to do is get voted out and go on the pre-jury trip and be away from my, you know, Wyatt and Knox, why I'm on some pre-jury trip. Yeah, that would have destroyed me. So it adds extra incentive to focus 100% on what you're doing, because you're out there to win the game. You're not out there for anything else.
Way back when, the first time that you flipped against the people that you had been working with when you voted against Ozzy, what was the reason why you wanted to flip away from the people that you were working with in the first place?
Well, okay, so Debbie, me, Sierra, Ozzy, we were all close, and Troy Zan and I got close on Tabua. So I was actually really close with the people on the other side. It just didn't really get portrayed that way. So I had to choose which side am I going to go with. You know, it wasn't like I flipped on Tari and them. I was actually really close with everyone. And it was like, okay, choose what you want to do, you know.
What do you feel like of the moves you made was the most important move for your win?
Getting the legacy advantage. Absolutely. Because I would have gone out at six had I not got. So that was huge. And then I think the final six also solidifying a three with Brad and Troy was huge, because had I not done that, I know it's shown that Brad didn't want to take Ty to the end, but I still think, had he not made me a deal that he would take me, he could have taken Ty.
When you got a chance to talk to Sierra at Ponderosa, was she upset with you about the legacy advantage? We didn't really see it in the final tribal council.
You know what? She wasn't. She was kind of like, girl, you got me. I think when she was upset, it was kind of right away. And I think what she had had enough time to get over it by the time I got to Ponderosa. And she, you know, gave me props for it. So I'm sure watching it back wasn't the funnest thing for her to do. Mm-hmm. And it probably, you know, having to relive it. But no, she's great. And she knows it's just a game.
Sarah, one of the things you did really well was that after you made a flip in the game, you were able to come back after Tribal and sort of diffuse any tension that was going on back at camp by the people that you flipped against. What was the key to your success doing that?
Well, I would want the first opportunity to get to explain why I did what I did. Because if you don't address it right away, then people can stew on it or go have conversations with other people about Sarah did this or Sarah did that. But if I get to speak first, I can dispel any of those thoughts so that if two people do go off, they can be like, oh, no, but she said she did it because of this reason, you know. So I just would want to, you know, nip everything in the bud before it happens.
Sarah, now that Survivor is over, you've got your money. Did you get some tape on that check that got ripped?
No, I haven't okay. yet.
All right.
I mean, can you even imagine? What a joke.
Yeah. Well, do you have any big plans for the summer now? Hopefully that you can still cash that check that Tony ended up ripping the corner off last night.
I know he would. No, I mean, I'm going back to work next week. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Life's going to resume.
Okay. Well, Sarah, great job. I really think that once the dust settles, I think people are going to really look back at this as one of the best Survivor games. Congratulations to you and all the best to your family. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
And I hope one day we can talk through the whole thing if you're up for it.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
Okay. You got it. All right. Take care, Sarah. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Sarah Lacina, the winner of Survivor Game Changers. I did have her as a winner pick back in Survivor Kagyan. I feel like I get some credit for that ex post facto, but great job by Sarah. I do hope we get a chance to talk with her entire game. She said she would do it, so now we'll see if we can set it up sometime in this Survivor offseason. I'm hoping to do a lot of offseason interviews as well with all of the Game Changers that want to come on with us and talk through everything because, you know, it's the summer and there's a long time until we get to Survivor 35. I have some more thoughts on Sarah's game, which I'll get into with Josh Wiggler later on today. But let's bring in next the legendary Survivor player that Survivor did such a great job honoring this season, especially last night. She got this huge ovation from the audience. Here she is, the one and only Ceri Fields. Ceri, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
How you doing? You're holding up okay?
Good morning. I am just a little bit tired.
I bet.
Hence the main voice.
Everybody wants a piece of you after the run that you had here in Survivor Game Changers. Ceri, you know, looking back at your Survivor career, there's never a normal way that you've gone out of the game. You've gone out on fire making. You've gone out on a surprise final two. JT had to do some idol voodoo to get you out in Heroes versus Villains. And now here is this. They just can't get you under any normal circumstances.
I know. That's a typical Ceri fashion. I was talking to my mother and she mentioned Murphy's Law. And Murphy has been following me for a long time. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
In terms of looking back at your three games where you got really close, do you have one of them that you feel like that was the one that you felt like that you were the closest to getting?
I think in Micronesia. I think I felt like I had it in the bag in Micronesia. That's why it was so devastating for it to be a final two and not a final three.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, so amazing that you were celebrated in the way that you were between last night and everything from this season. What is it about you that do you feel like people have just really connected with as a person who's been on Survivor?
You know what, Rob? I think it's that I'm just the average everyday person. I don't have any judgment. I'm not an athlete. I'm not evil genius, Harvard graduate or anything. I'm just like everyone else. And when you find someone like yourself or you have stories that you can relate to, I can relate to the average person. Not everybody can relate to the super athlete or the super genius or the super rich or whatever, you know? So I think because there's more people like me in this world than there are like the Culpeppers and the Zeke's of the world, I think that's why I have so many people that kind of support me.
Saria, I have a question here from Jamie Pulver, who wanted to ask you, during the advantage get-in, that's what we've been calling it, in the moment, when did you realize that it was going to go against you? Because at home, we were sort of like, okay, now Brad has immunity, we know Troy has an idol. When did it unfold to you? It was when Ty stood up first?
No, because we had talked and we had discussed Ty playing both of his idols for him and Aubrey, because I knew they were going to vote as they did, Ty or Aubrey, to split the votes, just because they didn't get, Brad didn't get to strong arm the idol away from Ty. However, we thought in doing that, both he and Aubrey would be safe and we would be able to vote Sarah out.
Yeah. One of the moves that you made this season, which I think was probably a little underrated, was when you guys voted out Zeke, there was the move to get Brad and Sierra and Troyzan to vote for Ty, which a lot of people compared to the 3-2-1 move that you pulled off in Survivor Panama, where Courtney ultimately went home. Were you thinking about that similar?
I was thinking about it, but I did want to get Zeke out, and but it served two purposes, because not only did it get Zeke out, it showed Ty where he stood in his alliance or his so-called alliance. Mm-hmm. So I think it worked perfectly, and that's when Ty started to lean more towards the girl side. But Ty, you know, Ty was a little unstable.
Yeah,
and I don't mean like in a bad way. I mean, just knowing where to fit in or where to land and stay.
Gregory McBean has a question. Saria, you've been on the jury 3 times. As a juror, did you prefer the older method where you got to ask your specific question, or did you prefer how this went down at this tribal council?
Oh, I definitely prefer this way, because the old way, you get to answer one question, you get limited information. This way, it's just like an open forum, and anybody can jump in at any time, and you get more information. You also share more information with the jurors, so it's easier to sway maybe someone to your side or vice versa, rather than having somebody just standing there pissed off asking mean questions or questions that really don't pertain to gameplay or things that you want brought out during the process. So I really like this way better.
One of the things that I thought was really fun was going back to that before that tribal council with the advantage that was Sarah's that you tried to play. We really got to see sort of your thought process in terms of, okay, I'm going to use Sarah's advantage and I'm going to use it to take her vote away, but I need to make sure that Ty doesn't play his idol. And you were sort of like thinking aloud, can I do this? Can I pull this off? Did you often talk to yourself in those ways before you do something like try to get Eric's necklace or pull off, you know, getting, Shane and Terry to be voting a different way? Do you talk that through?
I have to, because if I was at home, I would call my mother and I'm like, what do you think about this? Out there, you don't have that, and you can't trust everybody with that information that you're sharing. So I have to hear it out loud to catch any flaws or problems with the plan. Mm-hmm. I usually don't answer myself though, Rob. That's when it's dangerous.
Yeah. And you really did do a masterful job of selling it to Ty. It looked like that you were about to start crying as you were telling him about the, the plan.
That's another one I have to attribute to my mother.
Yeah, that was some good work.
When in doubt, drop a tear. Yeah, I had. Ty was, you saw, he wasn't buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do anything possible to make him feel safe, because had he played an idol, it would have all blew up in my face, so to speak, worse than it actually did.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, if that would have worked, though, if you could have got Ty out of the game at that point at the final six, how would that, or final seven, how would that have changed things?
I think because Sarah had Ty, and they both were, Ty, like I said, was a little unstable. Sarah was able, it gave her more flexibility in which ways to go with the guys or with us. But once Ty was gone, I think that would have solidified our alliance, me, Michaela, Aubrey, and Sarah. And then we could have started working on getting Troy's in and Culpepper out, and then, you know, hashed out the rest later. But I just think, I kind of like Sarah. If somebody else is your number one, then they got to go. And she kept telling me that Ty was, you know, she trusted him with her life. She never told me that. Mm-hmm. So then Ty had to go.
Yeah. Poor Ty. So going, you had such a interesting relationship with Michaela once you guys got together after the merge. Could you just talk a little bit about the bond that you guys shared and the role that you played in taking her under your wing this season?
You know, I'd see Michaela as like a little sister. You know, she's just a younger version of myself at one point. And you know, I have kids, and if you see, you have kids now, and
yeah.
If you were at the grocery store and you saw a young person about to make a wrong move, whether you knew them or not, or whether it would cost you anything or not, you would share that information with them. You would do what you could to help them and protect them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I definitely get what you're saying, especially, you know, my kids are, you know, little kids. So I'm sure it's the same thing as they get bigger and you see kids that are the same age as the kids that you have. Sari, I thought your relationship with Ozzy was also very interesting in the way that it evolved. Of course, you guys had all of this baggage from Survivor Micronesia. And this season, it looked like that he came in saying, hey, I don't trust Sari. I want to get rid of her. But at the point where ultimately you guys got swapped to a different tribe, you guys were able to work together. And it seemed like that you guys were completely on the same page. Is that right? Or was there just some stuff that we weren't seeing?
No, actually, it did kind of turn around for Ozzy, because the same with Ozzy. He's younger than me enough so that I could see him doing some things that are wrong, too. You know, and I kind of gave Ozzy a few olive branches, like, look, don't do that. Stop telling everybody what to do, because Ozzy is a likable guy. It's just once he gets in that alpha male provider mode, it kind of goes a little too far, and he doesn't really mean it that way. He just doesn't, you know, you don't get to see yourself that much. You don't see yourself as clear as other people. But being on an island and not eating and not sleeping and having to be on your toes at all times, it kind of detoxes your mind and your brain and your body, and it lets you get a clearer picture of yourself. If you're open to that and others, and I could see some things that Ozzy was doing that was really getting on people's nerves. And I like Ozzy, and I also wanted him to feel like, I don't carry any of that baggage. I'm not coming after you. I don't hold any grudges. I'm hoping you don't hold any grudges. I'm not thinking that you're coming after me. Here, I'm trying to help you. I did that several times, and I think that kind of broke down the barrier or the walls that Ozzy had put up between us. And I think he started to see, like, wait a minute, Sari is really, if I can take this for face value, I think she's all right. And that's how it kind of came about.
It's just interesting that, you know, you have these people that you knew and, you know, you can trust them more necessarily, even if there had been issues with them in the past, than people that are complete strangers. At least you have that shared backstory.
Well, sometimes it could be bad for you. Look at JT.
Yeah.
JT, you know, it was a different story over there.
Yeah. But it seemed like that you and JT were able to mend whatever fences or whatever issues you guys had from Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, no.
No.
That's what you didn't see. Apparently, when JT got over to Sandra and them, all he did was tell them how they should get me out.
Mm-hmm. But they couldn't because you never went to tribal council. What was that like for you? I mean, you couldn't have dreamed it up better, because I think that if you were going to look at you as a player, we feel like that, okay, if you can just get to the merge, you're going to be fine. But if you're on a tribe that's going to be losing a lot, maybe they say, okay, hey, let's get rid of Sari because she's maybe not the best person in challenges. I mean, could you ever envision this working out better?
Absolutely not. The Survivor guys shined down on me to not have gone to tribal council for 21 days. I just was getting nervous that people were noticing, like, wait a minute, you haven't gone to tribal yet. No, how could you hand me that fish hook? I had to not let that even be in the forefront, because I was shocked and in awe that that was what saved me. Had I lost any one of those first five, six challenges, from one to four, I'm definitely the first one out, first, second, and third, or fourth. And then at any point elsewhere in there, they might have looked at me like they did the Book of Malcolm and Sandra. They got Sandra after, that was before the merge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just got lucky. I just, honestly, you know, there's always a little bit of luck. There's a lot of gameplay, but there's a little bit of luck involved, and I had some.
Yeah, better to be lucky than unlucky. It goes a long way. Go back to that jury vote decision that you had to make between Sarah and Brad. Was that a close call for you, or were you Sarah all the way?
No, I was Sarah all the way, because Sarah did play. She made a lot of big moves. Sarah was able to flip back and forth between alliances and still be accepted and trusted, which says a lot for the relationships that she developed and the way she cultivated those relationships, had everybody thinking they were her number one. You know, so I there was not a question in my mind that my vote would go to Sarah.
Now, we got to see so much praise for you from Jeff Probst, and it really is amazing how he's recognized, you know, everything you've done this season. Do you worry, though, that if you were to play again, that you say, like, oh, hey, let's downplay this? Because then it gets harder to sneak up on people when they give you so much credit.
I do. That is like one of my... That's my Achilles heel, people's perception, whether it's right or wrong. How do you defeat that perception of she's dangerous? We got to get, look what happened last time. You see, they didn't get her. So, yeah, that does give me some pause if I ever was to play again. Like, damn, how could I get around that?
Well, you guys, that was good that you went out early on Heroes versus Villains. Then you were able to, you weren't top of mind for people. Now you got to come back and do bad one time, and then you can come back and then win.
Oh, Rob, it's only from your mouth to God's ears.
You just have to play two more times, sorry. Anyway, congratulations on everything this season. You, I think, are now the second most days on Survivor. And Ozzy had some of those at Redemption Island. I think we need to look into how many days actually in the game. Maybe you might actually be the record holder.
Uh-oh, we might need to check those facts, Rob.
We'll check the facts. Sari, I hope one day we can have a longer talk about all of this. You're such a joy to watch and to talk to, and all the best to you and your family, okay?
Thank you so much. Same to you, Rob. Thank you.
Take care, Sari. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. There is Sari. I do hope we get a chance to talk longer with Sari, whether it's an off-season podcast or even if she ever came back and did a recap. Not since Survivor Nicaragua has Sari done a recap with us. But again, job well done by Sari this season. We've still got four more people to talk to, over two more calls in this exit interview podcast. But before we get to Brad and Troyzan, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are the good people at Beachbody On Demand. If you've been a regular listener, you know that I myself have been using Beachbody On Demand since January. I came into 2017 and I said I want to start to at least get somewhat serious about being in better shape in 2017. I started doing Beachbody On Demand back in the first week of January, and it's the only thing that I've ever been able to do that I can keep up with, because one, I don't have to leave my house, which is very good. I don't have to go to the gym because I end up putting more and more obstacles in my way. I'm a terrible procrastinator. You might not think that because I put out so many podcasts, but I really put off everything else in my life, especially going to the gym. Beachbody On Demand is so easy because you have all these different great workouts to choose from, and you can do them all from the comfort of your own house. You don't need a bunch of expensive equipment. You just need some resistance bands or weights. If you have them, you don't need a lot of space to work out. I do it every morning in my garage. Every weekday, I'm out there watching different Beachbody On Demands. You know, I don't know if this is a cheat or not. I'm watching usually the news, or I have something else on my iPad, or listening to a podcast. I love it. It's the best thing that I've found for me. You can watch it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, or other web-enabled devices. They've got a great offer as well. You could try Beachbody On Demand for free for an entire month just by texting the word ROB to 303030. Just text ROB to 303030. There's all sorts of different workouts, from extreme cardio programs to resistance training programs, even yoga with Vetus on the 3-week yoga retreat. So if you want to get in better shape this summer, you got nothing to lose. Get a free trial, a free 30-day membership by texting 303030 for a full 30 days of access to the entire platform for free. This is a brand new service, but already almost a million people have been checking it out. Just text the word ROB to 303030 for 30 days of Beachbody On Demand. All right, two guys with great beach bodies, Troy Zan and Brad Culpepper. They are with us on the line. Let's go ahead and patch them in. Brad and Troy Zan.
Hey, Rob.
Rob has a podcast.
Yeah. How'd you guys
long
hold up last night?
Long time they see.
Yeah.
I held up.
God, I didn't find it. There's one guy with a beard there who's doing some television feed. God, he was a jerk.
You know, I shaved the beard. I shaved the beard since last night, since last time you saw me, Brad.
I don't believe you. Who would shave their beard between takes?
Yeah. Well, guys, good morning again. Job well done on reaching the final tribal council. We had a lot of questions that came in from the listeners of the podcast. So I have some questions for you guys, stuff that we talked about last night, and then also some questions from the listeners. Can you guys just take us through that final tribal council a little bit in terms of anything that we didn't see from either of you?
I don't know. I mean, there's probably a lot we didn't see, but it's such a blur. The biggest takeaway I had from it was that, you know, you have no idea what's going to happen once you get there, and you're worried that everybody's got their minds made up. And I think for the most part, people probably did. But we didn't, and Troy can speak for himself, but I mean, I was surprised. I knew that Sarah had backstabbed a lot of people and made a lot of promises that were unfulfilled. And I thought there would be some disconnect with her and the jury. And you see Andrea crying. I mean, there was a lot more to it than what you saw. But as soon as Zeke stood up and said, you know, Sarah, you backstabbed me. I gave you my jacket. You know, I didn't see it coming. You told me you were going to go to the end. You swore on your children or your child that I would never go home as long as you were playing. I commend you. I champion you for the winner of this game. I was like, oh, no. And I kind of looked at Troy Zan. I was like, we misread this situation. You know, maybe had Troy and I seen Zeke play a season, we would have kind of understood that he was kind of a cutthroat. Not cutthroat, but, I mean, he's a game bot. I mean, he was really interested in that kind of stuff and would not hold a grudge. Of course, we didn't know him coming into it, so we obviously misread. You know, when Jeff said, he asked me, like, did you misread the jury? I was like, clearly. So that was the biggest come away I had.
You guys had a close relationship seemingly from the moment that you guys got together in the game. Were you guys in lockstep on the decisions down the stretch, Troy Zan?
Well, we had talked about back and like, you know, okay, is it Sarah or is it Ty? I mean, and you kind of weigh your options like Brad was saying, like, what's the jury going to think? And we thought that Ty, you know, might have had, you know, more friends on the jury. And it was one of those things that he, you know, had been to the final three just in his last season that he played. And, you know, you go back and forth and back and forth. And it's one of those things you don't really know what the jury's thinking. So we thought, wow, they look like they're pissed off every time they come in and they give Sarah these, you know, stare downs. And we're like, well, they're pretty bitter. They kind of, you know, they don't really like her that well. So that's kind of what we, you know, agreed on, you know. Mm-hmm. So you roll the dice and go.
Yeah, and Ty was universally liked out there. I mean, he had a lot of fans, and he did a lot of providing. So you know, and you don't, obviously, when we watch the television, I'm privy to conversations that I was never privy to while I was on the island. So things that were happening, I mean, I knew Ceree was making moves. I knew Andrew was making moves. I don't know that I really understood as much as Sarah being a part of that. And maybe by proxy, since those girls were no longer on the island, that she was getting credit for moves they were making. But it wasn't as clear cut while I was there as it was kind of watching the show. And I commend Sarah. Sarah played a great game and kind of, you know, she got us to take her to the end, and it was worth her while.
Brad, one of the questions that I've gotten from a lot of the listeners, Emily Phillips asks for you, please ask Brad where he got the potato sack he was wearing. What was that sack that you wore to the final couple of votes?
Gunny
my
sack.
My Rambo gunny sack.
I mean, was it a joke?
No, I was cold. It was it's winter in the South Pacific, so those were sandbags, actually, that were on some steps to it was in walk, so I would go at night and take the sandbags and dump the sand out, and then I cut them up and put a hole in the head like Rambo to be able to keep warm.
Brad's going to be selling these online.
Oh,
Burlap,
the Culpepper gunny sack line, and so I think for $15.99, he's going to go for those.
That's good.
Along with my striped 1920s bathing suit and my red capri,
his striped monsters.
Yeah, was it an antique gunny sack?
It is now.
It's got some funk. It's got some good funk on it that you can never wash out. So that's good.
Troy, Edward Morris wanted me to ask you, did you have any intentions of playing your idol before Ty played his idol at that final six tribal council?
You mean before in a different tribal council?
No,
before?
Were you planning on coming in and you were going to play it no matter what that night, or it was only because you saw the other stuff come out?
I wanted to save it to five because I knew I could use it. It's the last time I could use it because I figured, you know, played at five, you get your guaranteed to four and, you know, win an immunity, you're in the final three. So I was kind of bummed. Like, I didn't know that Sarah had the advantage or the legacy idol. And I didn't realize that Ty had two idols. I thought he had one and maybe the other one looked kind of fake to me. So once I started seeing these idols pop up, I thought, you know, let's get on the old idol train. And I thought
the immunity train,
also,
I thought.
Immunity train. Yes, the immunity train. I think I called it an idol train, but maybe it got edited different. But anyway, I also hesitated and I thought I'm going to be the last person doing it. I waited to kind of when Sarah stood up, I hesitated. I was going to go and then she went. So I thought like, well, maybe I'll make it a little bit of a display. Maybe it'll help me in the jury, you know, to make a bigger impact. You know, I got a good like, oh my God, out of it from everybody. So. That was cool.
Troy, also, Laura Kathleen wants to comment. Not a question, but please give Troy Zan some props for his amazingly graceful exit speech during the final tribal council. He came in thinking he had a great chance, saw his dream totally gone, and still managed to have a ton of class. That was, how did that feel to get that ovation from the jury?
Well, I thought it was, you know, it was good. At that point, you know, I'm not ignorant. I had a pretty good idea that, you know, I wasn't going to get any votes. I mean, they weren't even asking me a question for like the first 30 minutes. Like, you know, so I wasn't dumb. I just realized like they had already made up their mind.
Yeah.
They didn't appreciate like an old school kind of play. And you know, in the past seasons, maybe I would have won 20 seasons ago. So at that point, I thought, I just want to tell these people that I appreciate, you know, everything that they did while I was out there. Because really, without each and every one of them, I wouldn't have had the experience that I had and the adventure that I really love. And so what you didn't see is that I went to each individual and kind of told a little story about, like, what we did out there. Like, with, you know, I was with Ty, and we caught an eel, and he was, like, getting bit all the pieces, and he had blood all over him. And, you know, he started crying, and I hugged him. And then I went to, you know, Ceree and said, you know, did this story about how she borrowed my flip-flops every morning and then talked to Andre. And, you know, it was like one of those where each individual I spoke to. And I think like when I finally said what I did at the end, you know, it was kind of emotional. I could see that they were kind of emotional in a sense too. And I think that's why I got the applause. It was like, wow, okay, this is really in a sense what Survivor is about that people don't get to see. Like 90% of the time you're just hanging out, telling stories and it's not about Survivor. So I think that they appreciated that.
Brad, something that I really wanted to get to talk with you about last night was that you and Debbie had this interesting relationship in the game. There was the one point when you guys had the big blow up, seemingly, when you guys were getting into it back after the first swap. But then from that point on, when you guys got back together, it seemed like you guys were always on the same page. Debbie had said, no, that was all theater. We were faking it the whole time. Is that right?
No, golly, not really in my perspective. I mean, you know, it was a little bit, I mean, but I wish she'd have given me a heads up on that a little bit more than she did. I mean, I knew we were close, and then all of a sudden she just went haywire, and I was a little bit like, what? I was like, Debbie, and you know, I was shocked that she was going off. I still, in the back of my mind, I'm like, is this fake? Because, I mean, we're together. Why is she blowing it up like this? I'm not really quite what sure. Because we had won immunity. You know, they kind of did it a little bit backwards on that because she really had the blow up after we'd won immunity. And so I'm like, Debbie, she kept it going. But then she kind of came down sooner than it kind of showed. But, no, I wish she'd if it was all an act, I wasn't in on it as much as I wish I was in on it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, maybe I've lost her. But then when she came back from Redemption Island and whatever else, I mean, we spoke and I felt pretty good about it. She's like, she did. If she let me on, she let me on there. And she's like, you know, everybody thinks we're against each other because of that blow up. So we're in good shape. Nobody's going to really trust that you and I are really together. So I was like, all right, well, good work. I appreciate you, you know, crushing me for the last 3 days, but that sounds good.
Yeah.
Listen, I love Debbie. She's one of a kind. Never met anybody like her, and she's wonderful.
Yeah, and definitely she's a fan of yours. That what did she say? You're 10 times more testosterone than the average man?
Golly, she's
beat that, Troyzan.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 20, so I got a 20 pack. Oh, I don't know what that 10 is about. Plus, I wear the Green Monster. Yeah. Body, so just take that.
So,
I got the Rob Cesternino bell.
You got the
one.
Bell for that.
That's all I wanted on this whole podcast is the Cesternino ding.
You got it. We saw in the preseason, Sierra talked about how she had a close relationship with you, Troyzan, and then ultimately she starts to work with you in the game, Brad. How important was Sierra as a force to bring you two together, working together in this game?
Well, you know, I didn't know Sierra, you know, going into the game. We definitely had a connection with Troy. So when we were on the beach, she goes, I know Troy. And I was like, well, I do too. And so, but Sierra's she's a guy's girl. I mean, she has a lot of guy friends and we just really connected, even outside of Troy. And it was a little disappointing to see her give her legacy idol to Sarah, but I guess I would get too much of a stone face during that. But, you know, definitely the fact that we both knew Troy helped my game and her game.
One of the things that came up on social media, Troyzan, was the way that the non-transferable advantage went down, that you had said that you had actually pointed that out at Tribal Council. Could you give us your POV on how that went down?
Well, I mean, I'll say it, and I think Brad can say the same thing because we actually talked about that the next day. What had happened was when Ceri turned and said, I'm going to steal your basically vote from Sarah. Sarah was like, oh, my God, well, hold on, time out. Like, you stole this. So then there was this argument that went back and forth with Jeff, Ceri, and Sarah. Was it stolen or did you give it to her? Was it stolen? Well, if it wasn't, then you can use it and blah, blah, blah. They went on for like 25, 30 minutes. Back and forth, and I'm thinking to myself, in reality, if Jeff knew it was non-transferable, why would he let this conversation keep happening? He just would stop it. Mm-hmm. If Sarah really knew and had remembered that it was non-transferable, she would have stopped it, and so would have Ceri. So it got to the point where Sarah's like, well, okay, fine. I guess if I can't use it, then use it, and I guess I'm going home. So I'm like, oh, shit. There's no way she can't go home. She's part of my alliance. You know, without her and Brad, I'm like, what's next? So I stood up and I said, Jeff, can you? There was something in that note that Ceri read about being, you can't take it, or it's not, you can't transfer it, or non, something about non-transferable. So Jeff goes, well, hold on, just reread this, Sari. So she reread it, and that's what you guys see, you know, in the edit. And then all of a sudden you see Jeff going, oh, well, yes, it's non-transferable. Yeah, after he had heard it read, and after I had said, reread it. So it was edited that way. Then they cut to Sarah saying, like, give me that back, you can't take it. They cut from her, you can't see her mouth moving, that you hear the words, it's non-transferable, which could be put in there at any point. So I just didn't get credit for that, which is, I mean, in hindsight, you know, whatever, I didn't get any votes, but I just felt like it would help, you know, for people to see that I was doing things out there, just like sitting there, you know, eating coconuts and, you know, getting to the 39th day without doing anything.
I will say, when I went back and rewatched that, I can see you like craning your neck behind Sarah trying to read what's going on that thing when Sari is holding up the paper. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, and I know other people had said other things in exit interviews, because in hindsight, when they rewatch, it's easy just to say, yeah, well, that's the way it went down.
Mm-hmm.
I concur what he's saying. That's how I remember it as well. And you know, obviously a lot of time has passed. So
I'm sorry. I know we're out of time. I know you guys got to run. Thank you both so much. Job well done. Congrats on going 39 days and Game Changers, both of you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
See you, buddy.
All right, everybody, there you have it, Brad and Troyzan. I know a lot was thought about those guys coming into this season. Brad certainly shattered people's expectations of what he was going to be like. I think people thought Troyzan was going to be a hothead coming in. I got to see both those guys in person last night. I thought both of them were great, very funny on the exit interview. So all the best to Brad and Troy. We've got one more round of exit interviews, and now we have Ty and Aubrey going to be calling in. Now, 1 year ago, after Ko-Rong, amazingly, they were also on the same call when we did our exit interviews coming out of Ko-Rong, and once again, here they are, back together. Here they are. They're always on the exit interview together. Here is Ty and Aubrey. Ty and Aubrey, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Ty and Aubrey, this is like deja vu. I feel like 1 year ago, it was just the three of us on this call, and now here we are again.
I know.
Yes, it is.
We're conjoined twins.
Yes, but now this time you can say bad things about each other because you're not going to go play on a season in a couple of days, right?
Yeah, but I also think that like everything that was like a struggle for me and Ty after 32, like it kind of worked itself out this time.
Good.
Like I feel good now that Ty has the upper hand and he voted me out. So I'm like in a good spot with it.
We were so cautious about walking into that game. It's like, okay, you know, everybody's going to talk it on us. And we try to avoid each other all the time. And I'm actually avoiding Aubrey, too.
You're avoiding you Aubrey? Know. Why?
I don't know. I mean, she gets to me easily. And, you know, I would just say, no way, Mark. My boyfriend Mark say, watch out for Aubrey. Watch out for Aubrey. But you know, unless we need each other, we try to avoid each other because everybody was talking to us after we got together. You know, everybody watching every single our move. We and like purposely, we're not going to be able to see each other. We you know, we to wink at each other here and there. But we like I didn't want to like obligate. Feel like I'm working with her and I have to betray her later. We try to avoid each other until we need it. So okay. Each other for the number.
Well, I know that everything is good now with you and Brad, Ty. I saw you guys hugging last night. But I couldn't help but thinking as I was watching the episode that the whole situation with Brad and Troy and you at the final six about, hey, give us your idol. This is what we want you to do. You end up turning to Aubrey. The whole situation to me was very reminiscent of what went on in Ko-Rong. Were both of you guys getting flashbacks to everything that went on with Scott and Jason at that point where Scott went home in Ko-Rong?
You know, like, that's like when, I mean, you, like, I can't have somebody telling me, I mean, Brad and I even, like, I can't have somebody talk to me like that, you know, like you want to get to me, give me a reason and get to me differently. I mean, if it was Aubrey who had demanded the same thing, I would have given it to Aubrey, but just not Brad. It didn't make sense to me the way he's talking, like, hey, you know, your hands are my destiny, in my hand, you know, like, you betray me, you know, like, there's nothing you can do about it. And then I say,
fuck it. You know, of course I can do something. You know, I don't have to be my idol. What am I? If I want to go home, it's on my terms. Yeah, maybe subconsciously. Because Scott and Jason, I mean, we become good friends. I mean, think about it afterward. But subconsciously, that's the button, you know. You don't push that button, you know.
Right.
I do not work well with that. That's why all the women were, I mean, yeah, as we get to me, you know, Aubrey, because that's how you talk to a person, you know. That's why Aubrey and Sheree are so good.
Aubrey, did you feel like that was a similar situation also? Because it does feel like that is not the way to get Ty onto your side, where it feels like pressure is not the answer with Ty.
Yeah, I definitely had flashbacks of that scene where Ty, Jason, and Scott are in the water, and Scott was like, no, we're not doing this. Oh, yeah, it definitely was like deja vu all over again. I mean, Brad and Scott are by no means the same person whatsoever. I had some really great moments out there with Brad, talking about family and life. He was a great person to me. But when he kind of flipped into that mode, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. It's just like, it's too poetic. The story writes itself. It's like, here's the David and Goliath situation. And I mean, unfortunately, I couldn't pull off what I did and go wrong with Ty and get him out. But yeah, it's bizarre. It's like you almost feel like Survivor brings out your true self, but like maybe the game has a true story for you that is like your destiny in the game.
Yeah, but I want to say something. Like, Brad is just a wonderful, wonderful guy. I mean, I love him. You know, we work, I mean, we have so much similar. I mean, we have some same value, you know, a lot of same belief. Something happened at that moment. I think he felt like he was so loyal to me, trusted me, and we were in it together. And then what flipped was when they all decided to vote for me and my alliance, Brad's choice and then Sarah. That's when it flipped on me. I say, well, you know, they do that. I give me permission to do that, to flip on them. You know, they did it first to me. I think that's just a weird, bad situation.
Yeah.
He could not get to me. I don't know how he didn't know no other way to get to explain to me, but the way he got to me was not the right way. I think we talk about it after the game, you know, it's a terrible, terrible time. The game did something, you know, you're hungry and you're desperate.
I get it.
Yeah,
it's a stylistic thing because I did have very authentic, like that scene where I break down earlier in the season. Like,
right.
I had a very authentic connection with Brad. So.
Yeah. And most of the people from your cast have expressed the same thing about Brad, and they really enjoyed playing with him.
Yeah, he was a
great guy. Yeah, he's nothing like that at all as a person. It's nothing. The game really messed up with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah. You behave certain things, so you don't do that in real life.
Mm-hmm. Aubrey, I have a question for you from Jim Rosario, who asks you, Aubrey, you've made the finale episode twice and proven you have the skills to maneuver to the end. What made this season more challenging? Was it the skill set of your tribe mates or just the random selection of different players in this season?
I mean, I think I was cursed in a sense when I drew the red buff and then when I talked to Tony. I talked to Tony and people would talk about the fact that I talked to Tony on day 35. It earned me a reputation of being like a hyper schemer, which is why you see me in some of the tribals where people are whispering, making a point not to engage in those conversations to try to show myself as a stable person who could be relied upon. I think that in some ways when those swaps saved me and I was on the bottom, like after the Tony vote out or after JT went home, I also got swapped with people who got taken out or weren't on Nuku until the second swap. So I think I played the best game I could with the cards I was dealt. I almost equate my game to I didn't have a pre-merge, and the Nukus had a pre-merge with each other. So when I hit the merge, it's like I was just dumped in the middle of the island with these people. So I was at a different point in earning trust than these people. And I also think recency from Ko-Rong really was a major hurdle for me to get over, as was the Ko-Rong 4, which is like the 21st player in this.
Well, the Ko-Rong 4 got so much buzz in the preseason, but was it actually a thing? I mean, we saw a tie vote against Caleb. Debbie didn't necessarily want to work with you, Aubrey.
No, it wasn't whatsoever. absolutely not. And I remember talking to Sandra on day one, and she said, I said, you know, I think I get the impression you might not want to work with me from some of the looks in pregame. I get that vibe. I want to work with threats. I want to work with you. And she so much as said to me, you're a good player. Some people say you should have won your season, and there's a co-wrong four. So it's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, it was just like the easy, it was like the kind of reason that you would vote someone out first, but it like lingered the entire game.
Aubrey, on that note, Edward Morris asks you, what happened between you and Sandra? You guys never seemed to get on the same page, where Sandra always seemed to want to get you out of the game. But I feel like since the game has been over, I've heard her speak positively of you. So was the reason why she wanted you out so badly? And then how did that change?
Yeah, I think that Sandra told me, as I kind of just said, that she thought I was a threatening player. But people got to watch me on TV 10 days before, but they didn't get to know me in the Survivor community yet. So I was like this threat, but like there was a question mark on me because people didn't know what it was actually like to interface with me. So I was this big kind of scary beast that Sandra wasn't quite sure what was up with me. And she told me after that she was afraid of me. And I took that as a huge compliment, and I was afraid of Sandra. Hell, she's amazing. I mean, it wasn't fun to live being the target of Sandra's get her out, but I have so much respect for Sandra. I'm great friends with her now. I think she's an incredible person, and I just think that we were two players who were on to each other, and Malcolm was in the middle, too, yeah. Which was another part of it. She said to me, she said, Aubrey, I didn't know I was the side chick. I've never been the side chick. I didn't know you were working with Malcolm. I'm always the main girl. I didn't know I was the side chick. So that was part of it, too.
It's a complicated Survivor triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Ty, Amy Howard wants to ask you, did everybody back on the Sandra vote tell you you were the decoy when Sandra was voted out? If not, why were they upset when you told Varner that Sandra was going? Could you just talk through that quickly? Because that was a complicated vote when Sandra went home.
Yeah, it was a complicated. We all knew that Sandra would go home that day. I mean, but she was so amazing player. We didn't want her to, like, be all calm and, during a camp, we talked about, okay, I talked about, in the trio talking about, everybody know, it was a survey, you know, say, I'm gonna go, say we want Sandra, no surprise for her, but are we gonna pretend like I panic and I'm gonna throw Aussie's name down, and we all agree on it, we're gonna act the whole thing, act it out. So it was not, like, I would get panicked during tribal. No, the whole thing was planned out, and nobody got mad at me. Even, like, Zeke and Sam, everybody looked surprised that the whole thing was an act.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Sandra. We'll give her so she didn't go, like, whatever, you know, just give her some hope or something so she can get out. Like, she would be blindsided. Wow. And even watching the game, I mean, what was surprised, so watching it, I say, the editing, why didn't even talk? I guess they want you guys, the audience, to be surprised by I might be going home or something, and that's why the editing show. But I was surprised that I didn't get credit. I mean, we didn't get, none of us get credit for the following episode. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't say, like, hey, it was the whole thing was in the hat.
Right.
You know? So, but, you know, it's a story to be told.
So I want to ask you guys about that final six tribal council where Ty ended up playing both of his idols. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I've gotten this morning is, Ty, why did you want to save Aubrey with an idol but then vote against her at the final five? Why was it so important to use both the idols at final six? Is it just because you love Aubrey so much?
I love Aubrey, yes. That moment's okay. Now, this is the time we're going to get together. And I feel like I can fit the game. We work with Aubrey and Sarah because I was still working with Sarah. Brad was really mad at me already. I don't think I could change his mind. At that moment, I wanted to take control of the game. And Cerie and I and Aubrey was talking about it. And then we just said, well, maybe we can, I can play two idols and then see what happened, you know? And, and then after Cerie went home, and Sarah and I get back to Sarah and I, we talk back and forth, you know, and at that moment, I think she might have already locked in with Choice and Brad, I can't do anything about it. They say they want you at Aubrey. I say, well, Choice, and we, I told Sarah, she and I can beat Choice, and, you know, and immediately all the final. She and I, Choice, Aubrey, I mean, Sarah and I supposedly beat the final two together from day one. We check in with each other all the time. And now we have a tight alliance, but somehow things got broken. I mean, that alliance got broken, and then, yeah, and I couldn't convince her to vote for Choice Anne, so that's why I didn't want to be on the right side of vote, so I vote for Aubrey Anne. Sorry, Aubrey.
That's all good.
But I did give you the eye of the
bear. That was nice.
Get
that
it
was
work,
pretty nice.
And it didn't, yeah.
Yeah.
Aubrey, I love Aubrey to death.
I've got a question for you from Laura Kathleen, who wants to get your take on the new jury format, as it seems like Ko Rong was the catalyst for that, making that change to the final tribal council. What do you think of that? And is that one of the ways that you were a game changer?
Yeah, maybe. I know the 32s are probably all, you know, tweeting around this morning. I personally love the new round table. I think that it allows the player to showcase every facet of their game and not just the things that are the super apparent big moves. But I think because it's discussed in the open forum, you're able to unearth kind of the nuances and the minutia behind the plays and maybe illuminate those more subtle plays. And it also kind of gives the jury the opportunity to inspect everything that the players are doing in a more 360-degree way. So I personally really like it. I also like that the burden of proving what you did is still on the players. It doesn't change with the essence of what the jury is supposed to be. And I also think that, you know, we should give juries credit. Like, these are people who came to play Survivor and love the game of Survivor and are taking it seriously and as a responsibility. We should believe that they have the ability to take this information in real time and change their preconceived notions if there was something they were wrong about. I think something very striking to me watching last night was, you can see on my face, other jurors' faces, like Haley, that they're in the moment taking this information in and making an educated decision. And I do think it's possible that if we had this in Ko Rong, there could have been a difference. And I don't think it was maybe necessarily one place that could have been different. I think it could have been two. And I think that Ty's game may have been seen more fully too, because he played a hell of a game in Ko Rong. And I think that he played a great game. He just wasn't able in that moment to articulate what he did because he didn't have the opportunity to kind of flesh things out.
Okay. Well,
Aubrey, so nice of you to say
really
that. Yeah, I agree with you. Everything you say completely. I think it's a great format. I hope Survivor keeps that on.
Okay. Well, Aubrey and Ty, you guys are missed connections no more. Can't wait.
No.
1 year from now, we'll do this again. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Like, give me a year.
I doubt it. don't buy a lottery on this.
All right.
Give me a year.
All the best to you both, and talk to you soon. Okay.
Thanks. You're the best, Rob.
I'll see you soon somewhere.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Ty and Aubrey, great job by both of them. We're going to be checking in with Aubrey soon. We're scheduled to have a off-season podcast with her sometime in the next few days. So be on the lookout for that, hopefully sometime next week with Aubrey Bracco, because we have a lot of ground to cover between everything that was going on in this season. And we really never got a chance to talk to her about Ko Rong. So I'm looking forward to that coming up soon on the podcast. All right. So thanks to all of the final six. Congratulations again to Sarah, and a really big thanks to our patrons for a lot of great questions that I had not been able to ask last night from the red carpet. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron for that. If you have a chance to check out those interviews from the red carpet, I thought we got into some really good stuff with the final six as well. They're available on CBS All Access. And again, I'm not sure if there's going to be any other places where you're going to be able to watch them. I didn't know that they were going to be part of All Access. I thought we were going to be doing stuff for the Survivor Facebook page, but it turns out that they are All Access at this point, and I'm not sure if they ever end up going to YouTube or Facebook. So if I get a link to any of that stuff, I'll be sure to share it with you all. I'll be back with Josh Wiggler coming up later on today, and a big shout out to Scott St. Pierre for holding down the fort with Stephen and Sophie while I was away at the live show last night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.